We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, sponsored by SmartBracket.io. It's that time of year. To get your brackets ready. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. It's Thursday, March 14th. I'm Doc. He's Rick. We got a lot to talk about. Let's dive right in after this quick jam.
So good to have you all with us here on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. We are the OGs, Rick Kamla and FSWA Hall of Famer Steve Alexander, a.k.a. Dr. A. And so there's so much to talk about here. We are a week away or 2 weeks away from the fantasy basketball playoffs. This is chip time, okay? This is where we really got to lock in. You know, those of us, we've been locked in all year, but you gotta pick it up a notch. The waiver wire is going to be even more important now than it is. It's silly season, as Doc has been saying here for a few weeks. So, Doc, let's start with a big game last night, the best game of the night last night. It was Chicago's overtime victory over the Indiana Pacers. And DeMar DeRozan had 46 points in this game. He's a stud, future Hall of Famer. Maybe we circle back to that. Maybe we do not. I mean, you all know what's up with DeMar DeRozan. You draft him, you play him, you enjoy. But, Doc, it looks like we lost Coby White last night. For a minute, and I hope that that speculation is not accurate. Billy Donovan said after the game, it's a right hip injury. And so, okay, cool, it's not a knee, but it is a hip. And so is it a hip flexor? Is it a strain? Did it slightly come out of the socket a little bit? Because he had a run out late in the game. Pascal, this is late in regulation. Pascal Siakam did the Anthony Edwards thing where he completely sold out and went Ray Lewis and just flew in for the. Remember Ant-Man on Neesmith in the Minnesota win over Indiana? Siakam did that to Coby last night and crushed him, landed on him all the weight, and Coby was kind of in like a splits fashion with all of the weight coming down on his right hip and kind of knee and leg area here. So Doc, there's not a lot of options here outside of like a Caruso, outside of an Io DeSumo, but how are you processing what happened with Coby White last night?
Well, I'm not processing it very well. As you know, I need Coby White in my 30-team playoff matchup.
Oh, you have him in 30 deep? Every guy we bring up, you have in 30 deep. This is amazing.
I have a good team. I'm winning right now, but I need Coby White, man. And DeSumo had a good game. Caruso is probably the pickup. I don't know. Coby White was horrible on Monday in game one for the week. He wasn't great last night, but he at least played. And now he's hurt. So now I don't know how much he's going to play the rest of the week. So we're gonna know more this afternoon, right? So. You're muted, bro.
We should know more about Coby White this afternoon, but maybe not. I don't think the Bulls are on the schedule here tonight. I'm kind of in last night mode a little bit here.
They do play tonight.
Then we'll know.
Clippers at Bulls at 8.
James Harden, shoulder questionable. Kawhi Leonard, back questionable for that game. So, Doc, Alex Caruso last night popped for 23 points, 5 threes, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists. He is rostered by me in the Cam Dynasty because of the stocks. He's at right around three stocks a game when you add up his steals, when you add up his blocks. He's probably the best shot-blocking guard in the NBA, and I say that knowing that Derek White is an awesome shot-blocker as well. SGA is a pretty good shot-blocker. Caruso might be the best guard shot-blocker, clearly one of the best perimeter defenders in the game. So, Doc, I've been rostering Alex Caruso. While he has been giving me 9 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 stocks, 1.7 threes, and shooting like 48, 49, 50%. He does not take bad shots, okay? Now, I think we are going to get a bonanza from Alex Caruso because the cupboard has been stripped bare. Pat Williams is out. They got all the other guys hurt, man. It's going to be, and if Kobe White is out, it's kind of sort of going to be DeRozan, Vooch, and Caruso with some Io. But if Io or Caruso were out there, Doc, who would you recommend the pickup between those two guys?
Well, first of all, Caruso is 27% rostered in ESPN League. So means he's available in almost 75% of ESPN League. So he's sitting out there. I think it's that's probably a lower number than Dosunmu. So you got a better chance of getting Caruso. At this point, I want either one of them. If Dosunmu or Caruso is available in my league, I'm picking either one of them up. I think my priority is Dosunmu, just because he's flashier. His numbers pop a little more, but it depends on what you're looking for, too. If you're looking for steals and blocks and you're looking for that defense, then Caruso might be the guy. But it's pretty close either way. The other thing about Kobe White is Kobe White is in the hunt for most improved player. And he's also kind of a dog. I kind of feel like this is not a guy that's just going to take a game off if his hip hurts a little bit. Like, he's going to have to be injured to miss time right now. So I'm hoping this may be just me being hopeful because he's on my team, but I'm hoping this is just maybe a one game thing for Kobe, but either way, I'm looking at Caruso or Dosunmu, whichever one's available in my league.
Well, you know me, Dr. A, I am all about the fantasy gold. I'm all about the steals, the blocks, and the threes. And I believe Caruso is going to be better in those areas than Io. I hope that Kobe, I don't think he's going to play tonight. I think that's pretty safe. They're going to run tests on him, they were saying. And we got to hope for the best here with Kobe White. But guys, run, don't walk to get Alex Caruso and or Io Dosunmu on your team. Doc, you have Alpi Şengün. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. But you have Alpi Şengün on your roster in the Cam Dynasty. And so I hope you all understand the sarcasm going on there. So you dodged a bullet here, right? With Alpi not blowing out an ACL or anything like that. He's got a severe ankle sprain. He's got a knee bruise, and all that kind of stuff. So he's probably going to be out for the year. Jock Landale. I want to talk with you about Jock Landale and congratulate you on Alpi not blowing out his ACL. But Jock Landale, in the first game after Alpi went out, did not start. They started Jabari Smith. They brought Amen Thompson into the starting lineup, and I dig what Udoka is doing. Landale still played starters minutes, 26. He went 11 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 block, 2 steals, and 1 3. And, Doc, I think it's important to note that he was with the finishing group for the Houston Rockets in this basketball game. What are you doing with Landale here?
Well, it's interesting. I wrote a column for RotoWire today. It's a mailbag column. And I said on Twitter something like, hopefully Jock Landale can stay relevant in Houston. And a guy with Twitter handle Kemosabe73 came back at me and said, why are you worried about Landale? There's nobody else to play center in Houston. And he should be fine for the rest of the year, right? And my point is, I'm all for picking up Landale, rolling with him until we see what happens. But the Rockets can easily play a small lineup and not really mess with Landale if they don't want to. There's also a lot of kind of semi-hot centers out there on waiver wires right now that Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford are actually going to play together in Dallas. So I don't know that Landale is a must-have guy. You also look at the fact the Rockets play 3 games next week or they're, yeah, the three games next week. They're in a three-game week this week. So I think if I'm sitting out there and I need a center, I'm picking up Landale. I'm rolling him out there. I'm seeing what's happening. But I'm not, like, locked into him, and I'm not going to be totally bummed if I don't get him. And I don't know that he's a season championship game changer in fantasy.
I agree with all of that. I've got him in the Cam Dynasty, and he is on the cut line, right? Like, if he comes back in the next game and he, maybe it's foul trouble, maybe Udoka just sees something and Landale plays 18 minutes and he has 7 points and 5 rebounds and 2 assists with no, then I'm going to cut him. Okay. But right now he's on my roster, and we're going to see how that goes. So who would you rather have, Doc, right now? I'm not even going to ask you about Daniel Gafford. I think we'd all rather have Daniel Gafford as we transition here into these Dallas centers. Daniel Gafford, guys, was 5 of 5 from the field again last night, and he has made 33 consecutive field goals, 33 in a row. Will Chamberlain is in heaven going, damn, dude, that's impressive. Gafford last night, 10 points, 6 rebounds, 7 blocks, 2 steals, 9 stocks, guys, in 26 minutes. Lively was bouncy. 12 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks in 20 minutes. So, Doc, let's add that up. 22 points, 14 rebounds, 9 blocks, 2 steals in 46 combined minutes. And Knicks fans thought they had something with Robinstein, right? I mean, what do we call it? Live Ford, Gaffley. I don't know. Like, let's merge their names here. Because, look, Doc, in reality, I believe that these two guys make the Dallas Mavericks very dangerous in the playoffs. Because we know Luka, we know Kyrie. These guys are badasses. But they love passing to Gafford and Lively, who are tremendous finishers around the rim. So who would you rather have right now, Landale or Lively, on your team?
Well, I have Lively. I do not have Landale. I picked up Lively in two different leagues. But, like I said, Houston plays 3 games in the current week we're in. They have, what, 1 or 2 left? Probably 2. And then they play 3 games next week. Dallas only plays 2 times next week. So I've got Lively in round 1 of the playoffs, only playing 2 games, but I built that roster around guys who play 4 games next week, so I figure I could get away with that one. But it's kind of a toss-up. I like the way Lively's playing right now. Luka is throwing lobs to that dude every chance he gets. Even when Lively misses or doesn't catch the ball, he had an opportunity to throw it down. You watched the game last night with Dallas where Luka sort of got hurt at the end, cost him a triple-double. But Lively and Gafford both look great right now, and I think Luka's finally figured out that he's got these tools, he needs to use them, and they look a lot better than they did a couple weeks ago. But I'd still rather have Lively than Landale, personally.
Luka to Lively is the top lob combination in the entire NBA. Luka did leave last night with a sore left hamstring. He did not return. Jason Kidd said afterward he was unsure if Doncic would travel with the team for Thursday's game to Oklahoma City. Doncic hasn't missed a game since January 31st. He might miss a game or two. I don't know, guys. He's got a hamstring injury. Dallas needs to play their guys. So there is urgency and hunger here with them, you know, trying to get up above the top 6 line in the Western Conference. I'm not sniffing like long-term here. I am, Doc, cover your ears. I am kind of sniffing long-term here with Kobe White, but I'm not getting those vibrations here with Luka. So that's all we know right now on Luka.
Go ahead, Doc. The opening line when I was looking at it last night on the Mavs game tonight is ridiculous, the point spread. Oklahoma City's favored by, I think, like 9.5 or something. That tells me right there Luke ain't playing tonight.
That's a good reading of the point spread right there, Doc, because that's exactly what's happening here. It's the second of a back-to-back, and he's coming off of an injury. He ain't playing tonight. It's probably a dub for OKC.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. It's the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Rick Kamla and FSWA Hall of Famer Dr. A. Steve Alexander here. Let's talk Corey Kispert, Doc. Corey Kispert, the wing for the Washington Wizards, is a thing. And if he is on waivers in your league, you need to look strongly into picking this man up. I got some stats for you on Corey Kispert. I have some basic stats, and then I've got some CAM stats for you. Over the last month, and anybody can look this up, 15 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Okay. You had me at the 15 points. One stock over that time. He's not a big, you know, block steal guy. 2.8 threes. Guys, over the last month, Kispert is at 15 points, basically 3 threes. That does not belong on waivers. That belongs on a team. 48% field goal percentage. Doc, here's the thing. If, like, Tim Hardaway Jr. has smacked into some kind of a wall and he sucks now and he's playing 17, 18 games, used to be the front runner for sixth man of the year, and what's happening here is just weird, okay? So if you still have Tim Hardaway Jr. waiting on him to bounce back and Kispert is on waivers, go get into some Kispert. He's giving you the Tim Hardaway Jr. stuff, but he's actually doing it, and he's not a myth who's lost his game here midseason. Here's the CAM stat, Doc. I went back and looked at Corey Kispert's game log for the entire season. He has played 30 minutes 9 times, 30-plus minutes 9 times. In 8 of those games, he's been a rock star. And I'm talking about 20-plus points, 5-6 threes, maybe 5 rebounds, maybe 5 assists. Like, when he plays 30-plus, the counting numbers start to come into play a little bit. And the threes are, like, mega, okay? And so right now, you don't have Bagley. You don't have Holmes. You know, Koulibaly's in the starting lineup. So when Holmes gets healthy, I don't know. He may go back in the starting lineup. Kispert may go back to the bench. Kispert may go back to being a 27-minute guy, not a 30 guy, and inconsistent. But he might stay in that starting lineup, Doc. This was a first-round pick a couple of years ago for Washington, but I am pretty hot on Corey Kispert right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's silly season, and we all, you know, the Washington Wizards are going nowhere. They are terrible. And I'm surprised that you're not a little fired up about Koulibaly either. And you may be. We were talking about Corey Kispert, though. But Kispert's numbers, he's been hot over the last couple games. I think he's a hot pickup. Looking at the schedule, which is sort of my shtick, Washington goes 3 games next week and then 4 games the 2 weeks after that. They're in the middle of a 4-game week right now, so that's all pretty standard stuff. Nothing earth-shattering there. But back to Koulibaly for a second. This is a stocks guy. This is a fantasy gold guy. This is a Kamla type of guy. 11 points in 3 straight games. At least 1 block in 5 straight games. At least 1 steal in 4 straight games. And 7 3-pointers over his last 3. So over his last 3, he's averaging 11 points, like 5 boards, a couple assists, a couple blocks, a couple steals, and a couple threes. That's your kind of guy. This is silly season. I think it's Koulibaly and Kispert season in Washington. I'm not worried about Rashawn Holmes coming back and ruining them.
I kind of am, because Holmes started, played well, picked up an injury in that game. It was a toe sprain and hasn't played since. And in that game where Holmes started, Kispert came off the bench. Koulibaly was starting in that game. So that's where my head is at with that. Doc, I would rather have Koulibaly than Kispert, okay? Koulibaly is on Jamie Oppenheim's team in the Cam Dynasty. He was drafted, and Koulibaly is a foundation piece for that team. I can't have Koulibaly. But I could have Kispert, and I picked him up off waivers. I've had him for about a week now, and I'm pretty psyched with the activity he's giving me. But for the people listening here on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Smart Bracket, I would recommend Koulibaly. He's not going to score as much, Doc. I think Kispert has a lot more scoring upside here, but Kispert does not help you in blocks and steals at all. Koulibaly's gone 3 stocks, 4 stocks, 2 stocks, 2 stocks. Over the last 4 games, he's got 7 threes in the last 3 games, including the last he started all of these games. So there's more of an anchor for Koulibaly in that starting lineup than there is for Corey Kispert. So, yeah, I would rather have Bilal Koulibaly, who was Victor Wembanyama's teammate in France last year.
And Koulibaly was kind of a hot – he's kind of a hot name at the start of the season. I think a lot of us were drafting him at the very end of our drafts. Like, this kid is a steals and blocks machine. He could start for Washington all year. Like, there was a little hype building around him. And I think now that we're into mid-March and we've got 1 month left and it's officially a silly season, it could also officially be Koulibaly balls out for the next month season. Rick, you mentioned Smart Bracket. Hey, March Madness fans, before we dive into the madness, we wanted to loop you in on one of our sponsors, Supported Intelligence. They've developed an AI tool called SmartBracket.io that can really help you when you're building your brackets. Think of SmartBracket.io as that one friend who always has the inside scoop. Thanks to something they call rapid recursive technology. It's like having a secret playbook for your March Madness picks, making your bracket a bit smarter while saving you a ton of time. If you love the game and your bracket could use a bit of an edge or a full-on strategy overhaul, SmartBracket.io is worth a peek. It's fun, easy to use, while leveraging some brilliant AI technology. It might just give you those bragging rights you're after. With March Madness around the corner, a little extra insight never hurt. When Selection Sunday starts, check out SmartBracket.io. Here's to enjoying the madness and making smarter choices along the way. Thank you, Supported Intelligence.
So, Doc, I am going to go to SmartBracket.io.
Dot io.
Not io DeSumo, but SmartBracket.io. And get, hey Doc, have you been watching a lot of college basketball this year?
No.
Ask me the same question.
Rick, have you been watching college hoops?
No.
I don't have time.
I do a 5-day a week show on NBA radio. Okay. I'm here with Dr. A. I got to stay on these goodies, man. So the point is, we're not trying to shame or slam college basketball. Will we watch college basketball now? Yes,
absolutely.
We will. And will we fill out brackets? And do we want to win these brackets? Yes, and yes. So I don't know jack about a lot of these teams. I know UConn's good. I know Duke and North Carolina are good. I know Houston's good. I know some of those teams, right?
Purdue is good,
but they're choky. I wonder if smartbracket.io inputs the choke factor with Matt Painter and the Purdue boiler man. I would love, is that a part of your AI technology? So, but I mean, all kidding aside, I'm literally going to hit him up here because Mike Babchak of Mad Dog Sports Radio, he's got a big bracket. It's like $20 a person. There's like hundreds of people in it. It's like, if you win it, you could really pop and make a nice number. And I've been like, I skirt the boundaries of competitiveness, Doc, on my own, just doing a little bit of research and just kind of throwing darts. And I do okay, but I never win, right? So I'm going to look up smartbracket.io, man. Maybe get a dub this year.
Let's go. Let's do it. I'm sure they're happy to hear that right now.
I'm just saying, like, I think that's a really, really good idea because a lot of us just parachute in, right, for the NCAA tournament. We don't know jack about these
Dude,
guys.
You and I and so literally.
This is a really good idea, I think.
You and I literally wake up on Monday morning, print off some brackets, sit down and start guessing because we don't, I mean, I'm like you, man. I know who the good, the better teams are. I can look at a 2 versus 15 matchup and have an idea that the 2's probably going to win. But to say I know what I'm doing when I'm filling out a bracket, I mean, it's preposterous.
Right. Literally right now, my strategy is take all the favorites and just see what happens. That's literally my strategy right now. I can't tell you, Furman, who won the Southwest WAC whatever conference, they're a hot sleeper. They could go to the Sweet 16. I do not have that knowledge. But we have fantasy basketball knowledge, and we've got it for days, and we're the OGs. We've got FSW, a Hall of Famer, Steve Alexander, Rick Kamla. He's Dr. A. I'm the fantasy freak. We've been doing this basically since dinosaurs were roaming planet Earth. So let's get back to work here. I know you want to talk about Kelly Olynyk. No, we're not dinosaurs. I'm saying like the dinosaurs that were roaming the Earth. And if we are dinosaurs, well, damn it, we're still effective dinosaurs. Kelly Olynyk here, Doc. Okay? And look, he should be on everybody's team at this point. I don't know what his rostered numbers are, Doc, but over the last week, Kelly O, 19-6-8, 2 blocks, 2 steals, okay? No, pardon me, this is last night. My bad. I had a W that looked like an N. Last night, 19-6-8, 2-2, 8 of 11 shooting, 2 threes. Okay, that was against Detroit. Over the last week, Kelly O's gone 16-5-5, 1 block, 1 steal, pardon me, 1 block, 1.5 steals, and 2 threes. Fantasy gold, baby, from Kelly O. I've always been a big fan of Kelly O, Doc, when he gets the minutes, and he's getting them right now. And I think last week we talked about, could Kelly O be a league winner? These numbers kind of look like league winner, like tilt the balance kind of thing for a team.
They do. He's 27% rostered ESPN.
Shut the front door. Are you serious right now?
27.
People, so, go pick this guy up. My God.
And that's up 6%. So he was at 21. And we've been talking about him for a couple weeks. He's back home again in Canada. He's the only healthy big man in Toronto. He's playing massive minutes. I think he's really excited to be in a new spot with new teammates, doing new things. And you read the numbers, dude. I mean, he's killing it right now. And he's a game changer. I mean, that's the center I want to go pick up right now, more so than Jock Landale, more so than Derek Lively and his week 2-game schedule. I want Kelly O. And Kelly O, in the middle of a 4-game week, and then Toronto goes 3-3 the next two. So, again, not ideal. But then a lot of teams are only playing 3 games next week. So I don't think you're losing anything. But Kelly O, Olynyk, has looked good enough for 2 weeks that he should be rostered everywhere. If you need a big man, that's the one you should be that should be at the top of your list.
Not a great rebounder, okay? If you're looking for 10 boards a game, you're not going to get it here. But you're going to get 5, 6, 7, 8, and you're going to get all the other goodies that we talked about. Just know that. Now, if you want rebounds, well, he's not on waivers, but DeAndre Ayton, my goodness. Last night, 33-19 against the Atlanta Hawks. Made 15 of 20 shots. The previous game, 22-15. The previous game, 30-19. The previous games, well, he was hurt. and he's back now. Last three games, Doc, he's averaging 28 points, 18 rebounds on 83% from the field. Again, Will Chamberlain is looking down from heaven and going, damn, dude. So, Doc, I'm not getting a lot of shutdown vibrations from a lot of these teams, man. Memphis is talking about bringing Desmond Bane and Brandon Clark back. Portland just brought Jeremy Grant back. I thought maybe we'd get a shutdown there. Ayton has come back here. These are guys that we thought might be shut down. We thought we might have seen the last of them this year, and they're back. And so, look, man, DeAndre Ayton, I don't know how long this is going to last, guys, and he's not on waivers, but I know Doc wanted to talk about this, and it's just nice, Doc, to see DeAndre Ayton playing with a damn motor, okay, and getting the most out of his God-given gifts. This is an extremely athletic guy, like a 40-inch vertical, 38, something like that. He's a seven-footer, blessed by God. Dang it, crank it up. Go put up some massive stat lines. I don't know why it's happening late in the season or why it didn't happen in November, but it's happening.
This is the most DeAndre Ayton move ever. Like, last week you and I sat here and I was like, Rick, is DeAndre Ayton done? You're like, yes, he's done. And I was like, I'm with you. He's done. Like, what? If he can't get out of his house when it snows to make it to an NBA basketball game, he's being paid a bazillion dollars to play in. Why is he going to show up when they're 50 games out of first place? The season's over. No one cares. They're playing the Hawks late night in Portland. Nobody's watching. And all of a sudden, dude, ever since we said he's done last week, he's just like coming out to spite us and just go off. Like, DeAndre Ayton looks like the best big man in basketball right now. And he's waiting until silly season when nothing matters to do it. Like, it's such an Ayton move, dude. I'm not getting shutdown vibes either, but I can't imagine Desmond Bane coming back for more than just a handful of games. I can't imagine Jeremy Grant finishing out this season for the Blazers. I can't imagine a lot of things. Brandon Clark, like, what's happening with the Grizzlies and the Blazers night to night? You can't really afford to mess with any of them. I don't even know. I just know that DeAndre Ayton is on fire right now. And why can't he do this in November or December when it matters and people are still fired up about him?
He can, but he's got the lowest motor in the league. And I'm not sure why the motor's cranked up right now. Maybe because he's like 3-2-1 Cancun. And he's like, he can see the light at the end of the tunnel here. Joe Dumars is the ruling arm of the NBA. And he said at the top of the season that we want to stress this is an 82-game schedule to the teams. And I think they sent a memo out or something like that. And, you know, a lot of teams, oh, man, we'll just do it. I think the league has taken note of that, Doc. And you merge that. Sort of this theme, like, we got to get guys back on the court. This shutdown bull crap, it ain't it, man. It creates a lot of unwatchable games. It's bad for the product. It's bad for your home fan bases. Even if you win a few games at the end of the year, it's really not going to disturb where you draft guys, okay? And this is not a Wemby draft. Nobody knows who the number one overall pick is going to be in this draft. Maybe Alexander Sarr from Australia, maybe, okay? Do you know much about him? This is not a Wemby draft or a Zion draft or a LeBron draft where the whole league is like, oh, my God, I want to suck just so I can get this guy. So I don't know, man. The Utah thing is weird, very weird to me. I am getting shutdown vibes from them. But Portland to me, and it's weird and it's ironic, they've had the shutdown vibe the last 2 years, and now this year they're not going to do the shutdown thing. That would take me back to what Joe Dumars said. And with Washington, right, they shut dudes down last year. I'm not getting those vibrations right now. I'm not worried about Tyus Jones getting shut down. I'm not worried about Kuzma getting shut down because they've got an interim coach. They've got a new non-center way of playing with Kuzma at center, and they kind of like how that's going. And, you know, they suck, but for them, they've got the new car smell. So this isn't going to be as shutdown-y of a stretch run as it has been.
Hey, props to you, by the way, on Lauri Markkanen. He has been MIA. I've got him on an injured list somewhere. I remember maybe one of the very first one of these shows we did this year, you were like, Utah and Lauri Markkanen, I'm not touching him. They shut him down every single year. They're going to shut him down again this year. I'm not doing it. And so far, you've been spot on.
Well, appreciate that. I'm also, I'm not a fan of guys that don't, especially a big that doesn't help me in either blocks or steals. And I understand the efficiency, the threes, the scoring. He's about 8-9 rebounds a game. I mean, he's a good player, man, but not, you know, like Nikola Vucevic is another guy, right? Not much in the blocks and steals. I have a hard time with that. Dr. A, and so it is Rick Kamla. It is Steve Alexander. We are the OGs here on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. So again, Doc, we said this last week, but we need to bring it back for the people, okay? There's a guy in Charlotte. I know you're not watching, but hopefully you're looking at box scores at least, named Vasily Micic, all right? Vasily Micic is not a thing. He's doing some big things right now. Last night, as the point guard of the Charlotte Hornets, 25 points, 8 assists, 5 threes, 2 steals. Pop, pop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is to have Micic on my team in the Cam Dynasty. I'm stoked about this. Over the last week, he's going 15-3-7, 2.3 steals, and 0.8 threes. The three game is a work in progress. He didn't shoot threes very much in the EuroLeague. He was a rock star in the EuroLeague, okay? And so the 5-3 game is some real progress here, and he's getting more comfy at our three-point line. The steals have been there. The assists have been there. He's scoring between 15 and 20. Doc, and last night, like I said, popped for 25. Trey Mann came back last night and had a small game. And Doc, I have since traded Trey Mann, right? Because I had Micic and Mann. I'm like, I can't have two Charlotte guards. I don't want that. Okay. I'm trying to win the Cam Dynasty title here. Trey Mann was hurt. So I shipped him out for a high second round pick. And Scott Messina took the deal. And so I got into a high second round pick for Trey Mann, who I might have ended up dropping had that trade not materialized. And boom, now I got Vasily Micic. That's how you do it, folks.
Wow. Not to burst your bubble, but Micic only plays 2 games next week. I've got him everywhere as well. Once we started to figure out what was happening with this 31-year-old rookie or whatever he is, he's 30 years old, isn't he?
He's 30. Yes, correct.
And once we figured out that LaMelo Ball probably isn't coming through that door, Trey Mann barely came back through that door. Like, it's Micic time. It's Micic season. And it's time to pick him up. He's in the middle of a 4-game week. He's balling out. If you get through the 2-game week next week, then they go 4-4-4 to finish it up. So, pretty good shape there. It's just going to be a rough week next week. But, man, that kid is that man, I should say, is kind of on fire. And I think if you were able to pick him up, that's another silly season type of game changing player. 6.4% rostered ESPN.
I guess we got to keep bringing him up week after week after week for the people. Vasily Micic. Don't worry about how to say his dang name. Just look for M-I-C-I-C and pick him up, okay? And tell him Cam and Doc sent you. We are the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. What's up, Doc?
No, I was just laughing, dude. That was funny. Tell him Doc and Cam sent you.
Tell him we sent you. The waiver wire can't communicate back, and it's kind of a weird reference, but we're rolling on here. I want to shut the door on Sam Merrill and George Niang. I know they had big games last night. The New Orleans Pelicans just decided for a game that we're not going to guard the three line. Watching that, it was, I'm going to go on the air in a little bit later on today on NBA Radio with Antonio Daniels. He is the TV analyst for the New Orleans Pelicans on Bally Sports. I mean, what was that? They got beat. At one point in the game, they showed the three-point. They got beat by at least 45 points on the three-point line last night. So Sam Merrill hit 5 threes, had 15 points, 9 assists. That'll never happen again. And 5 threes, okay? And so Sam Merrill has been dog sh— I like to cuss everyone. I'm not going to do it. He's been dog crap, okay? Literally one of— – he had a game against Atlanta recently. He did not make a shot. He was like 0 of 9 against Atlanta. They suck defensively, okay? So Sam Merrill finally busted out last night. Why? I watch a lot of Cavs basketball because teams have gotten the word on Sam Merrill. He is a knockdown deadly three-point shooter. So guys are fighting over screens on him. Guys are closing out on him. They're not leaving him buck naked out there anymore, okay? And so last night, he got left buck naked, and he made five threes. That ain't going to happen every night, guys. George Niang. Doc, he had two or three good games. Picked him up in the Cam Dynasty because I needed a forward for one spot, whatever, whatever, right? So then I keep him for one more game because he did have three good games in a row. It was the Phoenix game when Devin Booker came back three nights ago or whatever it was. Oh, my God, did he suck. He was a foul waiting to happen, could not make a shot. It was brick, 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 brick. And J.B. Bickerstaff was like, bro, come on over here, man. What was that tonight? So, of course, George Niang last night pops for 16-6 with four threes. It's fool's gold, okay? George Niang cannot defend at all. At all, all right? And Evan Mobley hopefully is coming back here pretty soon. If I had to have one of them, it would be Niang. Although the way he did me the other night with the bagel against Phoenix, I was like, dude, I cut him, Doc, mid-game. I was so pissed at George Niang, I cut him mid-game. I didn't even wait to see if he had like a good second half to reclaim it. I just, oh my God, I got to get rid of this guy, man. And he did not recover. So to me, that's fool's gold. Are you feeling Sam Merrill or George Niang in any kind of way?
Well, I got fired up about Merrill a couple weeks ago because on Friday, March 1st, he had 12 points and four three-pointers against Detroit. Then he backed that up Sunday with 21 points and seven triples against New York. And I was like, back-to-back double-digit games. Donovan Mitchell's hurt, which is the key to this whole thing, Mitchell. And I was like, man, I'm going to recommend Merrill to people. I'm going to pick him up and roll with him. His next five games, 6 points, 1 point, 6 points, 5 points, 3 points. Then, boom, last night, 15 with nine dimes, like you said, five triples against Herbert Jones, the most dominating defensive player in maybe the whole league. Like, I love.
And Jose Alvarado and Najee Marshall and all these dogs. They didn't defend last night.
I love watching Herb Jones play defense. When Herb Jones decides that you're not going to score on him tonight, you're done. It doesn't matter if you're Jaylen Brown. It doesn't matter who you are. When he decides that you are not going to do anything, you are toast.
Let me ask you a question. Me and Antonio are going to talk about this today on NBA Radio. Who's the best perimeter defender in the NBA? Is it Herb? Is it Derek White? Is it Jrue Holiday? Is it Suggs? Is it Caruso? Who do you think is the best perimeter defender?
I think they're all really good, but I think Herb Jones is the guy. Like, Herb Jones is the guy that I don't want guarding me. Like, when I go to Park and Rec, when I go to Park and Rec and my buddy Chris Kennedy decides he's going to shut me down, dude, he gets right up in my face and I'm old and fat and slow and I can't even get the ball.
Do you even get cardio at that point? Or are you just standing around and it's a complete waste of time?
No, I just get back in the car and go home. I'm done. But that's what it's like when Herb Jones is guarding people, in my opinion. And it reminds me kind of back in the day when LeBron would get guarded by Kawhi, and you could kind of see LeBron like, why is this guy got to do me like this? Because Kawhi's a really good defensive player too. But all those guys you said, man, Jrue and Derek White, and the reason that I still think the Celtics are going to win it all is because of Jrue and Derek White's perimeter defense. But I think just a one-on-one defensive dog, I mean, it's Herb for me.
Doc, I think you're wrong, dude. I think you're wrong. Jamal Murray is carving up Jrue Holiday and Derek White like they're a Thanksgiving turkey, man. Yeah, they have no answer for Jokic. I mean, they do. The 7'3" Kristaps Porzingis, and Jokic is like, I pass ball, we get buckets, we win. I mean, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. You put Dylan Brooks on it. It doesn't matter. You put Herb Jones on it. Doesn't matter, okay? Jokic is going to put your team in the fry cooker where the Wendy's people put the fries, and your team is going to be done and devoured with some tasty fries in the mouth, okay? I think Denver's got this, Doc. I think Denver's got this. I can't believe that the Vegas odds right now are so heavily tilted in favor of Boston. Are we not watching the games? Did we not watch Denver go into Boston and beat them at TD Garden with Jamal Murray scoring 35 freaking points going 15 of 21? Have we not watched these games?
One game.
What do you mean? I mean, you can say one game, but we see Boston play Denver twice all year. These are two of the most important games of the entire regular season. And so if Boston cannot beat Denver in the regular season, how are they going to win 4 out of 7 in the playoffs? Because think about this, Doc. You have to find some way to disturb Nikola Jokic. Nobody in the league is able to do that until somebody is able to disturb. Maybe Wemby is the only guy that can actually disturb Nikola Jokic. But, you know, Wemby's on the Spurs. They suck. That's not going to be a factor this year. Until somebody can solve the riddle of Nikola Jokic and, you double team him. Okay, it's like double teaming Pat Mahomes. You double team Pat Mahomes, you lose every time. Oh, so what do? I just stand back in a cover two. Yes, you stay back in a cover two defense and you just hope for the best. That's all you got.
Well, Boston is sleepwalking through this season. They're like, oh, Kristaps Porzingis, is he still on our roster? Just keep him over there on the bench until the playoffs get here. We don't need him. Oh, Jrue Holiday's not feeling great tonight. Throw him on the bench. We're good. We don't need him right now. Like, they are just cruising, dude. They're like, oh, Al Horford's 48 years old. Just throw him out there for 40 minutes. It doesn't matter. He's healthy. He's going to be good to go at the end of the season. Playoff basketball is different. Celtics are just trying to get to the finish line healthy, ready to go. And I still think the Celtics are the best team in the league. But you're right, man. The fact that Jokic is so unflappable and so, like, nobody can get to him. Like, he's moving slower than everybody on the court. He's making better passes than most of the point guards that play basketball. And he's making smarter decisions in a more calm and timely manner than any other player in the league. So you're right. It all goes through Jokic, but I think the Celtics are going to game plan for him, and they've got enough big guys and enough depth that I think they can do it. We'll find out. It should be.
Just don't put your house on it, man. Just
playoffs are going to be fun.
You got money on Boston, or I just don't put.
No, I've just been on them all year. I just think they're the best team.
They are the best team. They have the best record. They have the best combination of offense and defensive rating. They are the best team. But they're not going to beat Denver. That's where I'm at with that. What do you guys think? What do you guys think out here on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast? Who's winning this thing, Denver or Boston? Hit us up with some comments. Doc, let's go to the streets. Let's help these people win some chips, man.
Okay. Reader questions. Let's take it out. I'll find them. You take the lead on them. Matt starts it off with ESPN must have a lot of dead leagues. I don't think ESPN has dead leagues. I think ESPN, we talked about this before here. I've been told ESPN's leagues for some reason are smaller. 8 to 10 team leagues over there, whereas Yahoo's primarily 12. So, but even if you look at, if the Yahoo percentage of a player rostership is at 50, it's going to be like 40 on ESPN. But some of these guys, Micic, I guarantee you, is not rostered enough in Yahoo leagues either. Sorry. We'll keep moving here. What up, Living Legends? You think Auser? Rick, I'm going to let you handle this one because I haven't looked at it. Is Auser Thompson going to be back from – he's got a lung illness thing, right?
He is listed right here. I just looked him up. Auser has been ruled out for last night's game. He's got asthma problems. So I don't know, guys. I don't know. If you told me he's got a metacarpal issue in his hand, I'd say it's 4 to 6 weeks. If I saw an ankle injury, I'd be able to tell you that looked like a week. That looked like a day to day. That looked like a week to week. I'm pretty good with all that kind of stuff. Hyperextension, usually leads to a torn ACL. Pardon me, Sadiq Bey, but he fell into that trap once again. God bless him. But Auser Thompson, I don't know. I mean, he's got an asthma issue here. And so I don't know if it's asthma, but he's actually got like a more serious lung issue that they're putting asthma on, just kind of soften it up and sugarcoat it a little bit. I don't know. It's the second straight DNP. This sounds honestly like a complicated type of thing. And it's Detroit, right? You're not like trying to make the PIT, trying to get above into the top six. And so, okay, like, let's really go for it here. I don't know. I wish I had more for you. But I can tell you, with him out, Simone Fontecchio is going to be the beneficiary of that.
Yeah, I think Fontecchio is a strong pickup right now. He should be rostered everywhere. And I will say this. I don't like the word asthma attached to a guy that runs up and down the court for a living and plays basketball. You see people who suffer from asthma, they're sucking on that inhaler thing, and then you're dealing with lungs and breathing and lack of oxygen to the brain and yada, yada, yada. Like, I think before I'm running my potential superstar youngster out on the court, he's not going to be suffering from asthma problems when I do that. So I could see this potentially shutting him down until they get it figured out, which could mean the season. It could mean he plays 2 days from now. I'm with Rick. I don't know, but I don't like the sound of any of that simply because of what I said. Here is a great question from Matt Carmody, Rick. Would you drop Buddy Hield, the once on fire Buddy Hield, for Micić or Scoot Henderson? Head-to-head points league.
So definitely not Scoot Henderson, who, believe it or not, I mean, Chauncey Billups, what is wrong? He is starting Delano Banton over Scoot Henderson right now. Scoot Henderson should be going off in these games right now. I mean, literally, what are we doing here? Delano Banton needs to start over Scoot Henderson. Scoot played 17 minutes. I don't know where we're going with the Scoot Henderson thing. I've hated how they have deployed Scoot all year. Remember that little stretch doc where they were playing Brogdon over him? And did that make sense to anybody on any planet? They held on to Brogdon through the trade deadline, and now he's a dead player. He's not going to come back at all. Hopefully they trade him before his contract expires next year to a legitimate team as a sixth man. But Buddy Hield has hit the skids, man. And it's predictable. He got to Philly, new car smell, change of scenery, pop, 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 pop. All right, then all-star break. Then reality sets in. You don't have Embiid, okay? You don't have the spacing. You don't have the comfortability of all the gravity that he creates. And so now he's gone 13, 15, 8, 16, 9 in his last five games. He has 12 threes over his last five games, which is like 2.2, which is not Buddy Hield either. And the shooting has been pretty abysmal, a 6 of 17, a 2 for 10, a 4 for 11. I'm not telling you to drop Buddy Hield, but when we juxtapose him to Vasily Micić, I mean, Doc, I'd rather have Micić. Here's the thing. You can get Buddy Hield stuff on waivers. Corey Kispert does Buddy Hield stuff, but he's a little better in the stocks area. But you know what I'm saying? Like, Buddy Hield is kind of sort of Corey Kispert. But the difference maker is Micić because of the assists. You, Doc, we say this all the time. You very rarely can find 7, 8, 9 assists per game off of waivers. We are right now with Micić. You literally can find 7, 8, 9 assists. And this isn't some Scottie Pippen Jr. fly-by-night bull crap on Taylor Jenkins and that yo-yo down in Memphis. This is actually something you can count on.
Oh, that's awesome. I would do that as well. And as for my guy, what's his name? Who's the guy? Blanton in Portland. I've got him on a roster, and he's actually kind of fun. I'm kind of enjoying that experiment.
Not the last two games though. I got it right here. Doc, he had 25 against Toronto. He popped for 30 against Houston. The fantasy world is all rushing to get him. He followed that up with a 22-point game against Boston with low goodies. And then last night, 12, 5, and 2 in 19 minutes. Well, I mean, welcome to the Chauncey Billups blender. What the F do you do with that? Are we thinking the 30-25 Banton is coming back? Or are we thinking he's now right around a 20-minute-per-game player, which is where he should be, Doc, with Scoot Henderson playing 30 minutes a game?
Well, it was one game, and Portland actually got a win, so that was weird. Against you-know-who, the Hawks.
Kaka! DeJounte Murray hit last night, I know that. Dude, they're missing Jalen Johnson so bad. I mean, obviously Trae Young, but they're missing that juice that Jalen Johnson brings, man.
Are the Nets going to catch the Hawks and knock the Hawks out of the playoffs?
Probably not. Last I looked, it was like a 3-game separation. It is a 3.5-game separation. No, sir. I don't believe they're going to catch the Hawks.
How can Brooklyn be that bad? They're pretty sort of healthy.
Now they are, but I mean, they just got Cam Johnson back last night, came off the bench. I mean, look, I to me, the Brooklyn Nets have more talent than the record says they do. I like Claxton a lot. I like Mikal Bridges a lot. I love me some Cam Thomas. Dennis Schroeder is balling for them at center right now. Cam Johnson's a good player. Dorian Finney-Smith is a good player. You know what I mean? Dennis Smith Jr. is a nice backup point guard. I like him in a backup point guard spot. Their coaching to me has not been good this year, Doc. I feel like their talent should have more wins than this.
Would you drop Tyler Hero to pick up Desmond Bain? We're going to figure out where you really stand with Desmond Bain at this point.
Well, I just don't understand why we have to drop Tyler Hero. How can we not just put him in an IR spot and then you have an open spot and then you just go scoop up Desmond Bain? I don't understand why you've got to cut Tyler Hero unless you're in one of these lame 8 or 10 team ESPN leagues. I mean, that is so stupid to me, by the way. Like, it's so easy. Like, that's like the kiddie version of it. You know what I mean? Like, Doc, if you're in a video game and you've got like difficult, extremely difficult PhD level, and then at the bottom, you've got like kindergarten level, grade school level, right? Like, no, why? That's grade school level, man. That's entry level bull crap. Eight teams, 10 teams. I know you got an 8-team. Is it 4 teams or 8 teams? That team that's loaded with all-stars that you talk about from time to time.
Well, that is an 8-team league that we drafted like a month and a half ago to help these kids, these sick kids.
Sick kids. All right. Thumbs up.
Yeah, it's a charity. It's a charity thing. And, dude, I've got – that team is just stupid. It's Wemby and Embiid and Harden and Kawhi and – It's so funny.
So Doc, back to this, man. I mean, I don't freaking know. If I had to, gun to my head, backed into a corner, I'd go get Bane. Because I'm really
worried. When was the last time Hero, Doc? When was the last time Hero played?
Well, it was a minute. It was a New Orleans game 2 or 3 Friday nights ago. Whatever. So he's got last I saw a foot injury and a knee injury. Tyler Hero, the oft injured. Maybe the biggest tease in fantasy basketball, has not one but 2 leg injuries, okay? And he's soft. He's very soft. Doc, has Tyler Hero been able to complete the last 2 seasons for the Miami Heat?
Well,
the answer is no.
I was going to talk about – I was going to pile on Malcolm Brogdon a minute ago while you were talking about him. You just kind of iced over him. Like, he gets a free pass. This never finishes a season, never plays more than half the game's world that he lives in. But, man, I don't know how you can ever rely on Malcolm Brogdon for anything. And I feel like Tyler Hero is sort of headed down that same path.
I just made a trade in the Cam Dynasty. Tell me what you think of this. I traded Brogdon, right, in one of my IR spots, not coming back this year. And a 3rd-round pick to get into Chris Middleton, whose return is right around the corner. What do you think of that little move?
It's been a rough 2 years for Chris Middleton, but I don't know why he would not come back the old Chris Middleton next year. Like, I have way more faith in Middleton than I do Brogdon, so I like that deal. Rick, do you know who Tristan Vukovic is?
Yeah, he's the cat that Washington just scooped up.
Well, let's close the book on Desmond Bane. How many games do you think Desmond Bane is going to play for Memphis?
They probably got about 17 left. He's going to come back in another game or two, so they say. I don't know. I'd say maybe 13 or 14 of those games. You know, wow. Probably no back-to-backs. If you're going to bring him back, then play him to the end. And if I'm Brandon Clark, Doc, I want to come back. I'm paid to do this. I love ball, right? Don't I love playing basketball? Isn't that why I'm here originally, is love of the game? Bouncing that ball, going to the park, playing until mama screamed at me because dinner's ready and I got to come home now. The sun is going down. Isn't that what this is about? No. Oh, what reason do they? And these are not you, Doc, but a lot of these like whiny media members, right? Like, Tom Thibodeau, why do you play your guys so much? You're running it. Shut up. Shut up. Those guys are a big part of the problem with load management. So they're like, well, what good is it to bring him back? It's a month left in the season. Yeah, there's a month left in the season. That means popcorn is popping, beer is being sold, TV cameras are rolling. Let's play. I don't, Doc, in the NFL, they don't shut guys down. If a guy comes back from injury for week 18, they freaking play him, okay? Because there's a game and because there's fans in the stands and because TV cameras are rolling. Why not play? And so, again, shout out to Joe Dumars, beginning of the season, saying we're changing this shit up. This is no longer a 55-game season for these lazy bums. This is an 82-game season, okay? You need to honor it as such. And I really think teams have taken that to heart, Doc. I really do. And that is to our benefit over here in fantasy basketball. End of rant.
That was a fantastic rant. I have marked down the time it took place. I'm going to tell the people at RotoWire that should be cut into a two-minute clip and just let her rip. That was good stuff. Because I'm the old guy over here in the corner, like, why is Desmond Bane coming back to play in meaningless games for Memphis when he could get hurt again? Like, something bad could happen and mess up next year. I'm more of a protect my assets guy, but you're right. Popcorn's popping. There's beer to be sold and there's basketball to be played. Marlaw Ram wants to know your thoughts on Tristan Vukovic as a pickup. I'm going to be honest. I don't know anything about him. I didn't know that this question was coming. I have not checked him out. So I'm going to let you handle this one. And then we go.
He is a Euro big who was stashed. And now Washington, who is without a center, Bagley out, Holmes out, Gafford traded. And so they're going to bring him in. Will he play? I don't know. How much will he play? I don't know. They've got a small ball look right now with Kyle Kuzma at center. They kind of like it. I kind of like it too. And so I could see this Vukovic guy getting 15 to 18 off the bench. This is a wait and see for me. I am not, this isn't like, Doc, I'm trying, like, remember when Pete Alonso, I believe that he left spring training, didn't quite have the job. And then like early in the season, the Mets promoted him or something. Everybody globbed onto Pete Alonso, right? And rightly so, hot shot prospect, boom, pop 50 home runs, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. I don't know jack about this guy. This is not some buzz guy. This is not a hype guy. Do you know what I'm saying, Doc? You know, like a Pete Alonso or, you know, some of the other prospects in baseball that have hype about them that come up. Like if Jackson Holliday starts the year in the minors and the Orioles bring him up to the bill, it's going to be huge news. Jackson Holliday season is here, right? There's no Tristan Vukovic season. Nobody is tweeting out Tristan Vukovic, SZN. Unless I missed that tweet on Twitter, or pardon me, X, Doc, the worst name change in the history of the world. We had to go from Twitter, one of the great names in America, in the world, and we had to go to this, Doc. We had to go to X.
Why'd we it's not easy, man. It's not easy. And
they took my blue dot. They changed it to X. I'm frankly over it.
Dude, when I lost my blue check mark, I lost all the cool points with my children and all of their friends. Cause it used to be like, your dad's verified on Twitter. What? Like, it was such a big deal for the kids, man. And like I live in a college town and, you know, my buddies will be hanging out at Johnny B's talking to people and there'll be a group of girls around and my buddy will be like, hey, this dude's verified on Twitter. And they're like, what? No way. And it was always a fun thing to have as my calling card. And then it got taken away. Everybody's verified on Twitter now if they want to be it. And it sucks. Rick, I have one last question for you before we get out. And we are getting out. I'm putting you on the spot here. What is your favorite part of this time of year? Is it the NCAA tournament? Is it the Masters? Is it the start of the NBA playoffs? Or is it baseball opening day? Which one do you get most fired up about?
Wow. That's a really good question. Definitely not the Masters.
What if Tiger was still relevant?
Yeah, maybe. Probably not. All right. I like playing golf. I'm not huge on watching golf. I love playing golf.
Dude, you were all about watching the Masters when you lived at this house about 15 years ago.
That was
you 15, were all about it.
That was 15 years ago, son. That was 15 years ago.
However many years.
15 years ago, I would have cared a lot more about the NCAA tournament than I do right now. So it comes down to the basketball playoffs and Major League Baseball opening day. And, Doc, I'm going to throw a fastball at you here. You would think with my background and my identity that I would say the basketball playoffs, which I am psyched about. But, Doc, I am in I'm already in 11 fantasy baseball leagues. I have a dynasty draft tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern time. You know, I don't know if y'all know, but I'm a goat in that sport too. Okay. I literally print championships in fantasy baseball. I have a formula. I have a method. It is not an algorithm. It's just me being a goat. Okay. And I know how to do this. I win chips 40% of the time, Doc. I do not win chips 40% of the time in fantasy basketball. I don't. Because injuries and stuff happens, right? In baseball, there's a formula. And if you follow that formula, you will win 40% of the time. And you will be literally Final Four guaranteed if you follow my formula. I know I sound like Tony Robbins in an infomercial here, but I've solved the riddle of fantasy baseball.
You sound like Dan Tanner or whatever his name is from Anchorman. 40% of the time, it works every time.
Yeah. Yes. So just quickly for the people who may be playing some fantasy baseball, here's what you do. Like the first 8 picks are spent on offense. Okay. Offense, 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 offense. This year, I would recommend waiting on catcher. I found that Salvador Perez, Kelber Ruiz, Jonah Heim are really slipping. Logan O'Hop with the Angels are really slipping. Okay. You don't need one of the big boy catchers this year. But go offense, 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 then go closer. Okay. Nab you 3 closers, all right, and then you're good. Get the, like, firm guys, not the fly-by-night guys like a Finnegan from Washington. Go get the firm guys, Diaz from Cincinnati. Who else am I messing around with? Holmes from New York, guys like that. Then, guys, you go a little bit of offense to round out the utils and stuff, and you're like, where are the starting pitchers, Cam? Where are the starting pitchers? You don't need them, okay? You need them, but not at the top of the draft. So, Doc, then the rest of the draft is all starting pitchers, okay? So you know who I'm getting? I'm getting Hunter Green. I'm getting Christian Javier. I'm getting Hunter Brown. I'm getting maybe a Chris Bassett, but he's usually a round away from me. And, like, I look at my – I'm getting Tristan McKenzie. I'm getting Mackenzie Gore. I'm looking at my pitching staff, and I'm going, I freaking love this pitching staff. And I got it at the back end of the draft. And then you look at my offense, Doc. And it's rockstar, 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 rockstar. I got homers, I got steals, I got ribs, I got everything. That's the formula for winning fantasy baseball. These people that think you got to go take DeGrom and Scherzer and Verlander, and I mean, they're all hurt, right? So not this year, but to go get the Garrett Cole, already got an elbow, guys. Already got an elbow, okay? You are, to me, silly and foolish if you spend high picks on pitchers in fantasy baseball. You are silly.
Okay, well, thank you to...
And you're welcome.
Thank you to smartbracket.io. Rick, go check that out right now and get ready for March Madness. My answer to that question is I think I get most jacked about opening day because I've got fantasy teams, baseball teams, where the first game of the day affects my fantasy baseball team. Whereas March Madness, I still get fired up about that, but you got to wait like 3 hours before results start coming in and brackets start being impacted. So the immediate return on opening day of baseball is probably the thing that gets me almost fired up this time of year. Rick, have a great weekend. We'll be back here Thursday to do this again. We'll be talking more smartbracket.io and fantasy hoops then. Y'all have a great weekend. Peace.
Peace. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.